If the court, please. My name is Jim Dahl. Ed Livingston and I represent the Wegman Company. Your Honor, the Wegman Company operates a construction company that monitors construction projects. It was an additional insured for an Admiral $1 million policy. In 2001, a man named Budrick was injured on a job site. In 2003, he sued Wegman and others. In 2003, Wegman tendered the defense of that claim to Admiral, and Admiral accepted the defense of that claim. Wegman did not tender or give notice to its excess insurance carrier, American, that had $6 million worth of excess coverage because Wegman did not know the nature or extent of the injuries involved in the case or its probable liability.
Why didn't Wegman know? What was Wegman's relation to the work done by the fellow who was injured?
Your Honor, my client was the construction manager of the site, had some supervisory responsibility for the site. The employee was the employee of a third party.
Yes, I know, but he was working on the site.
Yes, sir.
And Wegman is the manager of this, of the construction. Doesn't Wegman understand? If there's a, there's obviously this fellow was seriously injured. So wasn't Wegman aware that a person had been seriously injured?
Wegman was not aware, Judge, because there was not an indication immediately following the injury as to the nature and extent of the injury. It was a fall, Judge, from about this height off of a platform when the man stepped down from a construction table they were working on onto one of those spools they were using as a ladder, and he fell. And so nobody knew how seriously this man was injured.
Didn't the complaint in the lawsuit allege substantial injury?
Your Honor, all it did was this typical allegations of we've had substantial permanent injury and it's more than $50,000. That doesn't put you over $1 million. And there's been no suggestion by the other side that we have an obligation every time we get a claim to notify our excess carrier. And indeed, that would be bad policy. If every time a construction manager got a complaint, it put its excess carrier on notice, that would simply create an awful lot of paperwork and would be unnecessary. More importantly, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
The alternative is to ask your lawyer whether notice should be given to the excess carrier. Did you ever ask the law firm that was defending this suit whether you should give notice to the excess carrier?
We did not, Your Honor, and there was a reason for that. The reason for that was we were never notified by either the insurance company or that lawyer as to the nature and extent of these injuries or the fact that this presented an excess liability. And the law does not...
That's a reason to ask rather than a reason not to ask.
No, Your Honor, the issue is duty.
Yes,
and it
that's
is the,
what I want to ask okay. you about, because your complaint is very sparse about that. You said that Admiral selected and retained legal counsel to represent you, and Admiral controlled Wegman's defense. So what does that involve concretely? Did they hire a lawyer from another firm, or did they furnish an in-house lawyer?
They hired their own selected attorney.
No, but they were hiring someone who worked for a law firm. They weren't assigning an in-house counsel.
They can't operate an in-house, they can judge, but they did not do an in-house lawyer. It was an outside law firm.
It was an outside lawyer. Now, what when you say control, Admiral control the defense, not the lawyer, you're saying Admiral, what is that control? The briefs and the complaint are very sparse about the mechanics of control of a defense by the insurance company. I'm interested concretely what is...
Your Honor, and it's this. Admiral received monthly or quarterly reports with respect to the progress of the case, the nature and extent of the injuries, and told their attorneys whether or not to take or not take any actions towards settlement. And the issue,
So there's an insurance adjuster at Admiral who's monitoring the defense. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, Your Honor. I am not suggesting...
Are you alleging that Admiral told the lawyers not to pass any information about the lawsuit on to Wegman?
No, Your Honor, I'm not. What I'm saying is this. It is Admiral's obligation not ours. It's not our obligation to inquire as to whether or not this has gotten beyond the admiral coverage. The duty rests with the insurance company.
Did Wegman have any contact with the lawyer that the that admiral had hired?
Some judge in terms of appearing for a deposition now and then. But I need to make this point if I can, Judge. The critical aspect of the case is this. It is the primary insurance company's obligation. When it learns that there is a reasonable probability of an adverse verdict that will exceed the coverage, it is the insurance company's duty to alert the insured. It is not the insured's...
Isn't that the lawyer's duty?
No, it's both, Judge. But here's what we will get from the lawyer. We've sued the lawyer. And I'm happy to answer the questions why two separate lawsuits, but we have limited time. The lawyer, in my view, has the same obligation. But what we will get from the lawyer is that was beyond the scope of my representation. My representation was just to defend you in connection with that claim and not give you advice regarding your potential exposure, your insurance coverage, or anything else.
It seems to me you're trying to give make Admiral a lawyer here.
No, Judge.
To give him lawyer's duties.
I'm trying to let me just recite from. And on this, Judge Zagel and I agree.
And what does Admiral know about your excess coverage?
What Admiral knows about my excess coverage is, Judge, that it's there because they had other cases going on in the same site, and they've never disputed that. Your Honor, I want to talk just for a minute though about the duty. And on this, the trial judge and I don't disagree. The application of this, in this case, we disagree. Illinois currently recognizes that a duty of good faith and fair dealing in any case where recovery may exceed the policy limits of the insured's protection, this duty arises from the fiduciary relationship between the insurer and the insured that is created when an insurance company obtains, quote, the right to conduct the defense of the litigation and of settlement negotiations. Goes on, thus the duty of good faith and fair dealing is expressed as the duty of the insurer to consider the interests of the insured at least equal to its own. That's the insurance company, Judge, not the lawyer. And when the insurance company knows this man is horribly injured, this man has had a lumbar fusion, this man has not worked for 6 years, we don't know that. And all we asked in this case, we didn't ask him to go out and settle it.
You see, counsel, that's the puzzlement. You were sued. Not you, but Wegman was sued. It was a defendant in this underlying lawsuit. And Wegman seems never to have asked its lawyer, the lawyers defending it, for a statement of what its likely exposure was. And you would think that would be the very first thing a corporation would ask its lawyer. What is my exposure?
Judge, that is altogether understandable if the insured has any reason to believe from anyone that it has any exposure. Because here's the insured's position, Judge. I have tendered my claim to my insurance company and its lawyer. It's $1 million.
No, sorry, it's not the insurance company's lawyer. It is your lawyer. They're being provided for you by the insurance company. They have entered an appearance on behalf of R.C. Wegman Construction Company, not on behalf of Admiral Insurance.
Judge, let me get to the court's point was this. Does my client have either an obligation or an expectation to ask what is my exposure? An uninsured defendant does. But if I'm insured for $1 million and they take over the defense, what Cicconi and the other cases say is
the way this issue is discussed, a little different from the way you're putting it. The duty is that when an insurance company discovers that it has a potential conflict of interest with the insured, then it's supposed to notify the insured and give the insured the option to hire his own lawyer and be compensated for the reasonable fees of that lawyer.
Exactly what we asked for, Judge. When they discovered in 2005 the probability of excess coverage, then they had an obligation to tell us that, just tell us that, and to tell us
we had... I don't think excess coverage is the key. I think the key is that...
No, I said excess of our coverage, Judge.
Excess of our coverage. Sure, but what you're saying, when they discover that that if they throw the dice and decide to litigate and lose, you're going to bear most of the expense. At that point, you're saying they have a duty to notify you and give you this option to have your own lawyer.
Absolutely correct, Judge. And we're saying the insurance company got to that point because it learned information about this case we didn't learn. And again, Justice Easterbrook, back to your question, I think when I...
You're in federal court. We are judges.
I'm sorry, Judge. Back to your question, Judge, where I have a million-dollar policy, I don't think I have an obligation or an expectation to ask that question until they alert me that it's possible. That's indeed what this case is all about. Your Honor, finally, I want to point out one thing that I found intriguing about the opposition to this. Not once has this insurance company said this burden is unreasonable, unfair, inconsistent with prior precedent, nor have they questioned our cases from other jurisdictions which deal with this more directly, where they simply say, absolutely. When the insurance company gets to this point where it knows there's a reasonable probability of a verdict in excess of their coverage, they have an obligation to tell the insured. They don't question those cases. The reason they don't is that insurance companies routinely do just this. When they discover the potential for excess liability, they get on the phone, they get on the horn, they get it on the emails, and they tell their clients, we've now realized you have excess exposure. Protect your interests. Consider retaining a lawyer. That's all we've asked for. If that had happened, we would have notified the excess carrier, and we wouldn't be here. And it is that point, and only at that point, that I think I disagree with the trial judge who said, Wegman maintains that Admiral's failure to notify it about the possibility of an excess judgment caused Wegman not to seek independent counsel and missed the opportunity to notify American, that was the excess carrier, of the possibility that its coverage might be at stake in the lawsuit. This cause is too attenuated. Your Honor, I don't understand how the trial judge, a wonderful trial judge, got there. If we had been told there was excess exposure, if we had been told maybe you should get your own lawyer, is there any doubt that we would have done exactly what we did do, and it's spread of record, when we were provided that with that information? And that was we notified the excess carrier. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Dahl. Madam.
May it please the Court, Terrence Madden on behalf of the Appalee Admiral Insurance Company. Let me first address counsel's query about our brief that he finds so intriguing. First of all, we did disagree with his contention that we have any duty to notify an insured of the potential.
Boy, that really baffles me. That really baffles me. You control the defense, which means that until a potential conflict appears, the insured has no interest in the case. The lawyer, you've picked the lawyer. It might be work for you. That's very common. You pick the lawyer, give him the lawyer. The lawyer reports to your insurance, to your adjuster. The adjuster is controlling the litigation. When the adjuster discovers that there's potential excess liability, he notifies the insured. That's absolutely routine. I don't know why that didn't happen here.
I can't speak to why it didn't happen or that it didn't happen.
You're not questioning my description of insurance company practices.
In some respects, I am, because there are no...
Now, please. This is basic. Insurance company accepts the defense, controls the defense, discovers a potential conflict of interest, must notify the insured.
If there is a conflict of interest.
If there is a potential conflict of interest, must notify the insured.
I agree on that legal
point. The potential conflict, of course, is that when there's excess, potential excess liability, the insurance company may make a judgment to risk a trial because the cost, if it loses, will be shared with the insured.
Your Honor, I disagree with you on that point. There is a conflict created only if there is a demand for the policy limits or within the policy limits. The mere possibility that a case may result in
when
a verdict beyond
the
limits.
No, when the insurance company learns that there's a potential conflict of interest, that's when the duty of notice arises. so that the and that's when the insured has the option to hire his own lawyer and conduct his own settlement negotiations.
I disagree with Your Honor on that.
What?
There is no Illinois case decision cited by counsel or in existence.
I mean, look in the treatises on insurance. Look in the case. This is basic.
It is not basic, Your Honor. There is no decision holding that the mere potential for excess, which exists in many, many cases, creates a legal conflict such that the insured is entitled to retain independent counsel at the expense of the insurance company, or that the potential for excess...
Look, this is not a question of whose expense it would be. Right? The question is the, as a matter of Illinois law, does the carrier have a duty to tell the insured that there is a risk of an excess judgment so that the insured can make its own decision on its own dime, or perhaps on the dime of the excess carrier?
There is no Illinois decision imposing that duty upon the insurance company. The case Brocato that we cite...
is if there's no Illinois decision requiring an insurance carrier to do something, then the carrier never does it.
No. What I'm saying, Your Honor, is that Brocato specifies and establishes fairly clearly the duties of an insurance company, which are when it hires defense counsel, it has fulfilled its obligations to its insured until and unless there are settlement negotiations that create the possibility of a settlement within the policy limits. That never happened here. According to the allegations of counsel's complaint, the only settlement demand was for $6 million, six times the limits of the Admiral policy. There are no allegations in his complaint, as opposed to what he said here today, that Admiral ever knew that there was a probability of an excess verdict. What he alleges was that Admiral knew that there was
a
possibility.
Wait a second. The insurance adjuster is monitoring, that's what control means, he's monitoring the progress of the lawsuit. He's learning about the extent of the injuries from the lawyer that the firm has appointed.
Okay.
At some point, they learn that this person might get a judgment if the case goes to trial for more than $1 million.
All right.
At that point, doesn't it have to notify the insurer?
No. At that point, if there is a duty, why is it not on defense counsel?
That's where you're really off base. When it learns that there's a substantial possibility of an excess liability, it's got to warn the insured. At that point, the insured is no longer protected by his insurance, so he wants to notify the excess insurer if he has one, or have his own lawyer, because now he's worried, of course, about the lawyer who's been appointed for him as a conflict of interest. He's paid by the insurance company. So.
Judge, first of all, there's no allegations that Admiral ever knew of a substantial possibility of an excess verdict. What it knew was there was a settlement demand for $6 million. There are no facts pleaded in the complaint.
It knew from the nature of the injuries that the compensation for those would have exceeded the $1 million, didn't it?
No. How can you ever know that simply by the nature of the injuries?
Now, that's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard from
unreal.
A lawyer in this court.
Your Honor.
I mean, suppose he was rendered a quadriplegic.
He wasn't.
You mean the insurance company would not have any reason to think that there might be excess
coverage?
Well, of course. Why do you say such an absurd thing?
What I'm saying is this simply
that's
because...
That's not what you said.
Simply
you said
because...
said insurance company never knows from the nature of the injury that there might be an excess liability.
Well, to the extent that I said that,
will
I retract
that.
I will
at least?
Retract that. What I'm saying is that simply by reason of the nature of the demand, an insurance company cannot be charged with knowledge of the probability of an excess verdict because routinely plaintiff's attorneys make excess demands, simply for the reason of putting pressure on the defendant
so
to settle the case.
Well, so your adjuster calls up the lawyer and says, you know, we've learned, or the lawyer's probably told them, okay, lawyer calls up the adjuster and says, there's a $6 million demand. And then the insurance company says, well, is this, you know, like a joke or something? Or is there a real possibility it might be more than our insurance limit? Right? Isn't that the way they have to proceed?
That quite often happens like that. It quite often does happen like that.
Right. But don't you think the insurance company is required? The adjuster has to say, okay, they asked for $6 million. Now, Is it possible that they could actually get more than $1 million? Doesn't the adjuster have to ask the lawyer that? No, you say no.
I say no.
Yeah, well, I just...
Under the Supreme Court decision in Haddock, it is clear under the circumstances that create a duty upon an insurance company to initiate settlement discussions if there is demand in excess of the policy limits. And that happens only if there is a great likelihood of an adverse verdict.
People learn about your argument. No one's going to want liability insurance from Admiral. The other insurance companies do not take the position you take. When they get a demand, they find out from the lawyer whether there's a substantial risk. And if there's a risk, they call up the insured.
Judge, there's no difference in the way Admiral handles defensive cases
yes,
as opposed
is.
To any other
if
insurance.
If you're describing company. Admiral's procedures correctly, Admiral is out of line with how the insurance company, liability insurance.
Well,
insurance
there are no allegations in the
they
complaint.
They don't just sit back and say, oh, yeah, you asked for $10 million, must be a joke, right?
Your Honor, all we can do in defending this case is respond to his allegations. And the only allegations he is making is that there was a possibility at some point of an excess verdict created by reason of the $6 million demand. And the question becomes...
And a plausible insurance carrier at that point will ask the lawyers it's deputed to defend the case to evaluate what the plausible judgment in the case is, or they may send their own employees to make an assessment of what a plausible judgment would be. Is it your position that Admiral doesn't do that either? That the plaintiff makes a demand, but Admiral makes no effort whatsoever to determine whether the demand is plausible?
No, I'm not saying that. Those are all allegations that are beyond the scope of the complaint. Those are facts that are not pleaded, not discussed. The only allegation is that by reason of the $6 million demand...
You know, I hope you understood my question correctly and Judge Posner's. We're not asking you what the allegations of the complaint are. We're asking you what Admiral's practice is.
Those are indeed, I believe, Admiral's practices, and there are no allegations that they were not followed in this case.
But you've told us the practice. This is like an admission, right? You've told us a practice which is completely unreasonable, namely that Admiral closes its eyes when it hears there's a settlement.
No.
In excess of the... That's what you said.
I did not say that. With all the respect, I did not say that.
They don't do a thing, you said.
I did not say that.
Do they call up the lawyer?
Most often and almost always, I believe that they would have discussions with the lawyer about the settlement demand.
What are the cases in which, having been informed by the lawyer there's a $6 million demand, they do nothing?
The law does not require them to do anything at that point. Keep in mind, the insured is being defended by experienced defense counsel. If someone is under an...
He's appointed by the insurance company and is representing the insurance company.
No, he is not representing.
Until the excess liability appears, at which point the lawyer has a conflict of interest. That's why the insured is offered the option of hiring his own lawyer.
That is simply incorrect, Your Honor, as a matter of law. The mere possibility of an excess verdict does not create a conflict of interest.
Look, you're saying that ordinarily, when Admiral learns there's a demand, is a $1 million policy, it learns that there's a $6 million settlement demand, it calls up the lawyer, well, we've been informed by the lawyer, it's talking to the lawyer, and asks the lawyer whether there's anything to this, whether there's any significant probability of liability excess of the insurance coverage. You say that's what Admiral usually does, but in other cases it doesn't do that. I'm curious about the cases. What do you think is an example of where the insurance company reasonably, having heard about the demand, says, I don't have to pay any attention to it?
I would say that depends upon the case, obviously, because there are some cases where demands, everyone who receives it realizes it's absurd and ridiculous. There are other cases based...
Is there such a case?
I couldn't say that.
Is there such a case? I'm asking.
I think the demand for $6 million.
Is there such a case?
Yeah, I think it was, if you look at the facts, because they didn't get a verdict for $6
million. They got $2
million. And they almost got a verdict within the joint and several liability limits, which would have brought the verdict against the insured to a quarter of that, because he was found 27% at fault, I believe. Had he been 25, it would have been a fourth of that. And that's what defense counsel was banking on in defending the case. Now, this is all outside the record, but since we're well beyond that anyway, and that's what happened. So defense counsel thought they could win the case or had a great chance of a verdict within the $1 million policy limits because he thought Wegmans' liability would be 25% or less, in which case it would have been only severally liable. Its liability would have been less than $500,000. But all this discussion assumes that Wegman knows nothing about what's happening in the case. It's their obligation to notify their excess insurer, not Admiral's.
Why is it their obligation? They're not paying for the lawyer.
Well, I'm talking about the excess carrier, because the excess policy says the insured has the duty to notify it when there's a claim that may invade the excess
limits.
Yeah,
but the insured, of course, expects to be informed by the lawyer for the insurance company when he might need the excess coverage.
Well, there's no reason to believe that Wegman did not have the same knowledge that Admiral had about the $6 million demand. And point counsel said early in his argument,
the reason to believe that is that Wegman alleges it. Wegman says it did not, in fact, know, and that Admiral did, in fact, know.
No, I don't think he does make that allegation. And a point counsel made early on in his argument that it's unreasonable to notify an excess insurer automatically of the potential for an excess verdict is, I think, inaccurate, because that's something that most defense attorneys would do automatically, simply to avoid the situation that arose here. Most defense attorneys in a construction site accident ask the insured, do you have excess insurance?
The complaint does allege, it says, Wegman did not realize that the lawsuit presented a realistic possibility of a loss in excess of the Admiral policy limits until a few days before the trial.
But what he didn't allege was that Wegman was not aware of that $6 million demand. And if that's the demand by itself creates a potential conflict, then why didn't Wegman have the same information that Admiral did? And of course,
you don't even know whether Wegman was informed about the demand.
Well, there's no allegation that it wasn't. Under the law of Illinois, the
counsel.
Okay, thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Dahl?
Your Honor.
Don't speak until you're at the podium.
Just briefly. With respect to the conflict, Judge Zagel, the trial judge with whom I had many agreements on the law, noted at the page 4 of his opinion, at A4 of the appendix, that in these cases, wherever you reach this point that we're talking about, where there's a reasonable probability of an adverse result in excess of the primary insurance coverage, according to the case of Transport Insurance Company, and this is Judge Zagel quoting it, insurers operate under a conflict of interest. The policy limit drives the wedge between what is good for insurers and what is good for clients. When the insurer is the only one that knows that that conflict has arisen, it is time for the insurer to notify its insured that the time has come, the conflict exists, and that we have the right to retain our own counsel. In addition, I think counsel said 7 times that we never said that they knew there was a realistic probability of an adverse judgment. I would call your attention to paragraph 12 of our complaint. I will not recite it verbatim, but just say this. They knew that we had supervisory responsibility for the site and could be found liable. What he just there suggested to you was maybe they could get us under 25% and save themselves some money. Not a gamble they ever shared with us. Point 2 was that Budrick had sustained severe and permanent injuries, that later they learned that he had had a fusion out of his lumbar spine and that he had been out of work since 2001. Your Honors, that's enough to put any experienced insurance carrier on notice that there is a reason. And then we concluded
what he said at the end of it, Paul said at the end of his opinion, was that you have not alleged that you didn't know about the $6 million settlement.
Yes, we did, Judge. I mean, we didn't specifically reference the $6 million, but we did allege in the paragraph that you quoted that we had no idea that this was that serious a case. I think that we have not specifically alleged it one way or the other. It may become an issue of fact. My belief is that we didn't know about it, and the only way that we even learned about any of this
was by accident at a picnic when my client runs into, I think, a relative or a friend who's a lawyer and says, we're going to trial. And it's at that weekend that they discover the reports about the nature and extent of the injuries and the $6 million demand. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. The case is taken under advisement.